The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
We can now welcome Connacht head coach Andy Friend to the show. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. So how have you been over the last couple of days? What is the work that is involved after a pretty disappointing defeat in the Challenge Cup? Is it a reflection? Is it business as usual? How have you approached those last few days?
A lot of reflection. It is disappointing. We've actually given the players the week off because, as we know, unfortunately, we don't have anything to play for this weekend. We do have an Eagles game, but the thought process going to that Leicester game was we weren't going to be losing it, so we hadn't planned for not losing it. But we have this coming weekend off, we have the following weekend off, and then we head into the Rainbow Cup. So there's a real sense of disappointment, though. An opportunity lost, and they're the things that really hurt you, mate, because when do you get the next one? You don't know when you're going to get the next one. And to have turned up to Wilford Road not in our best emotional state is really disappointing, something we're going to have to live with.
How do you analyse that in a way that isn't counterproductive? Like, I assume that sometimes you can get carried away with a defeat as you can with a victory. How do you try and get that balance right in the aftermath of a significant defeat?
Well, I think it's about being honest with it. You can't hide it. At the same time, I said it's not the end of the world. We're human beings and things like that happen. But it's how do we learn from it? I think that's the most important thing. And we've had a lot of learning occasions during the course of this year. We've had a lot of positivity around this year as well. So it's trying to identify or point out the areas that we've been really good, identify and point out the areas that where we need to continue to improve to make sure we don't fall into those sort of holes again. But also then, pick people up and say, we've still got a bit to play for. We've still got six games to go at the end of this season, and we've got to make sure we finish the season on a high. So I think the other thing is again, just the realisation that there's a lot of fatigue. There's a lot of fatigue in our squad. We've been going for 9 months now. By the time we finish, which, the final of the Rainbow Cup is on the 19th of June, we started training on the 29th of June. So we're going to be 355 days where we've been together, living like everyone else has in lockdown, but actually really restricted because we one of the things we said at the start of the year was we wanted to be the fittest, healthiest squad. Yes, we've had incidences of COVID, but we've had no spread throughout the group. We've had no games cancelled because of COVID. We've managed to fulfil all of our fixtures. We've had a really, probably the second best year we've ever had in Pro 14, which has been a plus. But then you get a disappointment like the weekend. So it's trying to get the balance of all of that. And so it's not the end of the world, as I said, but we've got a few things to work on.
Yeah, for sure. Everything, I think, is put in perspective a little bit over the last 12 months. Just on the particular opposition that you played last weekend, I know there was a lot made of the fact that Connacht have struggled against teams from England over the past couple of years. Have you been able to put your finger on why that is, or is that just a coincidence?
We play very different styles of rugby. The Premiership is, respectfully, it's probably a more confrontational style of game. They're bigger men. There's a lot of impact in both tackles and when they carry the football. Whereas Pro 14 tends to be a little bit more open, in my view anyway. And certainly against a side like Leicester, that's what we found the other night. And listen, it wasn't their best side either. That was the other thing that hurt. They put a lot of young blokes out there, but they had a want and a desire to get that result probably more than we did. And that's something that hurt. But I think on the whole, Pro 14 rugby, the style of game that's played there is probably a little bit more open in my view, whereas the other, the Premiership rugby is still open, but there's a bit more confrontation.
That's interesting because it sort of mirrors maybe the national conversation about Ireland versus England as well. Now, I know this year Six Nations, it was a positive outcome for Ireland against England, but there was definitely a sense in 2019 and 2020 that England had an ability to overpower Ireland, and maybe Saracens managed to do that against Leinster on those last two occasions in the Champions Cup as well. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I am. And we actually said it at halftime in that Leicester game. I said, fellas, we're trying to win an arm wrestle, which they got bigger arms. So we're mad to stay in the arm wrestle. So what we tried to do in the second half, and it did start to work for us, we started to play with a bit more tempo. And we had a penalty. We weren't going to stop. We weren't going to kick to the corner and give them the maul that they're very good at defending. So we started a quick tap and play, and we started to try and avoid rucks and go through rucks. And we got ourselves back into winning contention on two different occasions by doing that. We weren't good enough to finish it off, but by simply changing our focus when we went into that second half, I felt we got a lot more pay out of that. And I think, again, you've got to play to your style, but at the same time, you've got to try and take away from an opposition's strength. And their strength is definitely, the close quarter stuff. So try not to give them that.
Andy, I guess a lot was made this week of the Munster signing of Jason Jenkins. And I know, the promotion of academy players is not something that can be leveled at you, that you haven't promoted enough. You've certainly promoted lots of academy players to the Connacht first team. I just want to get your take on people saying that maybe, is it sending the wrong message, prioritising signing foreign players over academy progression at the moment, or is it just about finding the right balance?
Yeah, I think every coach has got his own thoughts on what he needs in his team. I think from a Connor perspective, again, this year we've blooded 15 new players now. Eight of those are academy boys, and we had seven new signings. We've still got freshness coming through. I think the pathway for players and coaches is really important in any program. It's something I really believe in. And as you've seen there, like over the last, since I've been here anyway, we will have had over 20 players that we've brought through the academy and given first, given caps to. And I think the players have got to see, young blokes have got to see that. They've got to see that if you stay at Connacht, for example, that there is an opportunity for you. And I think we've provided that. In terms of what other coaches see and what other coaches think, that's really up to them. But from a Connacht point of view, it's really important. You will have also seen that we're bringing two young academy coaches through as well. So I think for coaches as well, there needs to be a pathway. And I work very, very closely with Eric Elwood, who leads our academy. I think there's a really healthy status there from academy into pro world at Connacht Rugby.
Andy, a lot was made of some of Ronan McGarrah's comments after his La Rochelle side beat Gloucester last weekend, and a lot of people getting excited maybe about the future of Ronan McGarrah and maybe bringing some of that coaching expertise back to Ireland. And he spoke about the difference in Southern and Northern Hemisphere rugby. He said big emphasis in the Northern Hemisphere and the ruck. But what I learned from my time with the Crusaders is you need to keep the ball alive. And he put this emphasis on keep the ball alive, KBA. You'll have to contend with the Southern Hemisphere teams a bit in the upcoming Rainbow Cup, but as someone from Australia, like, how would you define, I guess, the main differences between rugby north and south?
Yeah, I listened to that interview, and it was a very good interview, and he made a lot of sense. He made sense, to a brand of rugby that I grew up with. I think the most difficult thing to implement that in the Northern Hemisphere is often the weather, and people lose sight of that. We're actually coming into a period now where you can play a bit more ball in hand stuff, and you can actually keep KBA. You can keep that ball alive. So, but there's chunks of the season there where it's very, very difficult to do that because. And I'll talk about Galway. We've often got wind and rain and it's howling. Like, it amazes me the skill level of our blokes that they can do some of the things that they do in the conditions that we play in. So conditions definitely have an impact, and because rugby's played now over 9 months of the season, probably half of those are going to be in conditions that it makes it very, very difficult. So you've got to have an extraordinary skill set to be able to then pick up or change your style when the weather gets good. So I don't disagree with that philosophy. In fact, that's the way I said I was brought up playing rugby and coaching rugby. It is tricky to do in the Northern Hemisphere for a full season. So you've got to sort of be master of both if you can.
Is that possible? Because that was certainly one of the things that came out of maybe the Munster-Toulouse game at the weekend as well, was maybe a proper sunshine game of rugby breaking out. And why wasn't the Pro 14 version of this showing this all season long? But as you say, it's a completely different ball game for the vast majority of the entire rugby year.
Yeah, correct. And I mean, even, you know, the afternoon games, as players, as coaches, we love it. We love it. But, you know, majority of our games are 7:45 in the evening, and it's normally on a winter's evening where it's bloody cold and it's either pissing wind and rain and you can't do anything. So, you know, all of a sudden you get a sunny Saturday afternoon or a sunny Sunday afternoon, whether it be in Munster or whether it be in the south of France. And funnily enough, people want to play and it's great. You know, not too dissimilar to the game we had against the Scarlets. We turned up at Park the Scarlets, you know, 3 weeks ago, as they said on the night. Jeez, it's never like this. We had a still night. Not a breath of wind, not a drop of rain, and two teams played. We went out and played. Now, we lost that game, but you know, there are over 70 points scored out there, and players want to play that way. But the weather, the conditions definitely work against you to play that style. So, I think that again, the key is as you know, and for myself as a head coach and all of us as coaches, to try and get the balance if you can, where when you can play, when you can't play, be smart with it. But I can tell you now, players love playing rugby that way. They love, you know, turn on the rugby Aotearoa. Like, it's brilliant to watch any of those Kiwi teams and the Australian teams now starting to play some better football. But it's great to play. It's great to watch. And if we had the conditions, I reckon we'd do it.
We were speaking to Rassie Erasmus on the show earlier this week, Andy, and he was making the point that one of the things that will hold Ireland back, apart from the weather, is the fact that the playing pool is just so small, that you compare it to South Africa, and really it's unfair to think that Ireland can compete consistently to the level that South Africa do. From your own perspective, I get the sense that trying to widen that player pool is something you've tried to implement at Connacht. I know 30% of your players need to be from Connacht. I assume that helps to widen that base a little bit, and it does broaden the appeal and the possibilities for a team like Connacht.
Yeah, listen, I think there's some amazing talent in this country. I really do. I think one of the issues with it, it's pretty much centered around one or two hubs. And it's how do you get the best. Like, let's just say every squad's got 40 players. Let's say they've got 50 players. So if in a pro squad now there's 50 players, so I don't think anyone has 50 signed up players, but if you've got 45 players and five academy players, if the best 50 players are playing in each province, the best 200 players are signed up into those things, you've got a hell of a playing pool there now. And I think what happens at the moment, unfortunately, because a lot of the playing pool happens, or a lot of the education of young players predominantly happens up in Dublin. And those young fellas, I get it. I get the reason they want to stay there. They want to play for Leinster, and so they should. But if you're sitting third or fourth in an academy position there, and there's an opportunity to be first or second somewhere else, to me it makes good sense to move there and try and play that. At the end of the day, though, the player has to want to do it. Okay, now if the player doesn't want to do it, well, it's never going to work for you. So part of it is trying to say to the player, you know, rugby's about getting opportunity, and the more you play the game, the better you're going to be. From a Connacht point of view, we would love to have 100% Connacht players, and there's a lot of good work again through the pathway systems that Merv Murphy and Eric Earlwood are putting in place at the moment, where we're trying to get more people playing the game. But probably over the next 5-10 years, we're going to see that start to come through. At the minute, though, our playing pool is reasonably limited. We've got some really good young fellas coming through at the minute, but we don't have some of the depth and breadth of other places. So whilst we want to keep that 30% and actually grow that, if we could do 100%, that would be brilliant. The more we can try and shift players who are sitting third, fourth choice somewhere else and offer them an opportunity, the better it would be for us. So I think there's great depth. As I said, there's great depth in Ireland. It's just how do you get that depth playing the game.
On that point that you make there about the Dublin schools, like that is a really interesting one, because the pressure's on you, I guess, to win now. I mean, it's all well and good implementing structures for 5-10 years for Connacht, but I guess you need to win now. And it is clear that the pathways in Leinster and in Dublin in particular, due to the private schools, are just in finer fettle than everywhere else in Ireland at the moment. It is an unbelievable conveyor belt of talent that is coming through. Is there ever a sense from what you've seen living in Ireland so far, that there will be other parts of the country that can compete with that, that maybe even in Munster, Ulster and Connacht, there will be a pathway that is as strong as the Leinster school system?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the eternal optimist too. So I do believe that, that people are seeing that and understand, you know, certainly in the Connacht area, that the better coaches we get out there in junior rugby programs and in schools, the better product we're going to get coming through. So there's a big focus on that. I know you look at Munster at the moment and even Ulster, some of their young academy talent that's coming through is phenomenal. You just look at the last few years of under 26 nations, Ireland's done very, very well. So there is talent coming through. A lot of it is based up there in Dublin, but there's a fair spread now. So I think, you know, my role as a head coach, I think everyone's role as a head coach, yes, you've got to win now, but you've also got to be building sustainability for the future. And that's something that I truly believe in. I think if I can leave, when I do leave Connacht Rugby, if I can leave it in a better place than when I got there, and knowing that the steps are in progress for it to keep going forward, then it's been a really successful period of my life and my time, and something I'd be very proud of. So that's what I'm working towards doing. And we get great support from Willie Ruan and the board. They've got a long-term vision for it too. And everything's zoning in the right way to continue to make Connacht a very, very strong province in the professional game, as well as the community game. And I think that's really important too.
Andy, can I just ask you briefly? I remember last year on the show, you were speaking about how lockdown has kind of taught us to manage our time more effectively, you know, not just with team meetings, but with getting family time back and that sort of thing. And, you know, a lot of people have been more active than ever, I guess, recently, getting back in touch with nature and their local area. I know you're someone who's been fairly active on the mountain bike as well, always active, not just with the coaching, but with your hobbies. How have you found the last couple of months? Have you still been cycling, keeping busy on that front?
Well, unfortunately, mate, I ruptured my quad tendon about 6 weeks ago. So
right.
I got off the crutches 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, and I got out of the brace 3 days ago. And it is killing me that I can't walk, and it's killing me I can't be on the bike. So I'm not a great advocate of getting outdoors in these last 6 weeks. but the good news is the quad tendon's coming on, and the best news is my surgeon said to me, the best thing for it, friend, is going to be cycling. So when I can actually get my knee around a 90-degree turn or 180-degree turn, I'll be back on that bike. But I've been keeping myself active otherwise. I've got calluses on my hands because I just made sure I kept on the crutches and I was moving as quickly as I could or as much as I could on that thing. I love it. I think Ireland's brilliant too as a place to explore, and where we are here in Connacht, certainly around the Connemara. There's just some brilliant spots. So I'm busting to get back out there and do a bit more of that.
How did you injure yourself?
It's a really bad story, but it was half time in the Cardiff game and I was walking back up to the coach's box. Somehow my foot slipped out from underneath me. I went to capture it and my tendon just went snap. So I sort of ended up on the ground in a bit of a pile, managed to get myself up to the coach's box, managed to watch the second half, and then got handed a pair of crutches, came into the room to sing the song with the boys and to tell them how well they'd done. But typically what happens in rugby when anyone's copped an injury, people just laugh their heads off. So I walked in with my crutches going, "Well done, fellas." Everyone's like, "What have you done, friendly?" I said, "Don't worry about it, but let's sing the song." And sang the song, and I knew as soon as I'd done it, I'd done something pretty serious. So I had surgery four or five days after, and it's been a slow progress back.
God, well, glad to hear you're on the right track. And that really is a statement of Northern Hemisphere coaching, that the coaches get worse injuries than the players.
It's funny because when I was up at Santry and my surgeon, Professor Carl Moore, and he said to me, he said, "Listen, fair play to you." He said, "We get a lot of your players through, but we haven't had a coach who actually wants to put himself what the players are going through and just to see how to get back from an injury." And that's what I keep saying to players, fellas. I just want to see every angle of this program and make sure it's right. So I can tell you our physios, the service we get, they're pretty damn good, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they're pretty good at their job, I'd imagine. Andy, friend, it's been great chatting to you. Always great to have you on the show. Thanks a million.
Good on you, fellas. Appreciate the chat.
Cheers. Head coach of Connacht, Andy Friend there. It is 7 minutes past nine on this Thursday morning. You're watching OTB AM, and still plenty to come before we wrap up this hour.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.